Many people were talking about on their Sunday morning, not just here in America, but obviously in the Philippines and beyond. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This show is really at the crossroads of where the conversation stands. I like to call it the buzz in the backyard. Truly, the buzz in the backyard for the last month and a half has certainly been Obamacare and how it's affecting you, whether it's a thumbs up and you're willing to pay more, or it's a sticker shock kind of deal and you're scared to death because you are losing a doctor or your insurance is changing and you don't like change and you don't care if you're told 100 times over that it's going to be better because you fear the unknown for things that you've seen before with this administration. You know, when it comes to being divided politically, one thing about Americans is we stand tall when we help other people. And that's why our shoulders are sagging, because so many people rely on the United States. But boy, it makes you proud to be an American when you see the call to aid and how many people immediately jump on phone lines, give the last dollar in their pocket, whatever it might be. When you see these horrific pictures coming from the Philippines, and they're saying that the typhoon, Harian, has killed maybe up to 10,000 people. Of course, they don't know the exact number on that, but you just look at the pictures and the destruction. You know, you see it. And it's the most unimaginable horror that you've ever seen. And these are just photographs or video. So the president said, "We stand ready." Sent Marines to help people who are trapped because of that. So there's a lot of humanitarian things going on. Thank goodness, like I said, for that, because that's where we all stand tall together. The Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, directed the U.S. Pacific Command to support American aid, whatever we had to do. The colonel of that Marine Corps, really, Brad Bartlett, said that the military was called in at the request of the Philippines government because they just can't handle it. It's impacted over 4 million people. They have 36 provinces in the Philippines. Think of the islands. You just look at a map and you can really understand the severity of it. And they really believe the number of dead people is 10,000 or more. The actual number that they know at this point is probably somewhere around 1,000. You just know it's horrific, like I said. It's not a matter of what the exact number is, but you know how awful it is. So what we're doing is we've got air and sea search and rescue. We have helicopter and aircraft, lift support, anything logistical, because that's always the big nightmare in these things. And you can't imagine what possibly was coming their way unless you saw the weather map that was being put up where you see the typhoon and the winds that we're talking about, 200 mile an hour winds plus, where there is just nothing that is going to stand up to that. And where do you hide and where do you run? Of course, a lot of the people knew that this was a possibility and they were trying to take shelter. But on islands, there's only so many places that you can go. You're trying to get to higher grounds. And it obviously was a really, really incredibly devastating thing when this typhoon hit, and you sort of recognize things on the ground. But I think the most telling image that I saw, the thing that was just so shocking to me and brought home, wow, this is what happens when you're talking about a hurricane times five. We're a hull of a boat, a giant ship that was moored, was literally cut in half. It looked like someone took a saw and went right down the middle of it. I mean, right down the belly of that ship. Just these two giant boats washed ashore by the waves and slashed in half. And those islands now with some of the, maybe the strongest that they think ever on record. You know, again, you don't know this stuff 100%, and you only have records that go back so far. But it was a monster of a storm when it comes to winds and what happened with the sea waves that were so strong that they pushed these giant ships into the shores, and the debris, the trees, the road signs, belongings just scattered everywhere. The devastation is still, at this point, not 100% known when they're crawling around everything and trying to figure out who's there and who they may be able to find. When you have wooden homes that are just flattened, you might be able to salvage some life, but it's a question of trying to get through everything and comb through those areas as fast as possible. So naturally you have the Red Cross. They're all over this. A lot of Americans are pumping in dough to the Red Cross, as always, because they're a lot of times the first on the scene. And you think of the islands and where they stand, and they bore the brunt of the storm. Some of the six islands at the top of the Philippines, if you look at it, at least 4 million people, as I already mentioned, were affected by the storm. And for anyone listening to me, and you know you've been through some horrible weather scenario, we talk the most here about tornadoes and hurricanes, and we've seen the devastation. As I mentioned, you talk about winds that I just don't know how you can even survive it. It's amazing that people survived what went their way when you saw the giant clouds that formed and how it was like the perfect, awful storm times 10, the trail of destruction. The United Nations said it was sending supplies, but the challenge is, how do you get into these hairy areas where you're still, like I said, trying to comb for people, but it's impossible because of the wreckage. It's just that bad. And they think if it's over 120, 200 mile-an-hour winds at times, it might be one of the strongest storms, deadliest storms in history, certainly in that area. So it's that whole water, food, power that people are looking for. And certainly you're not going to get cell phone signals because they're going to be out. So the only thing you could possibly get to find people would be radio. So it's a state of emergency. And in one area, they're declaring in Tacloban, they're declaring martial law. And, of course, that's because what happens, you have people that are looting and whatnot. And even though there was these massive casualties, the government did manage to evacuate 800,000 people. And many of those people were high enough and far enough away that they didn't get hit by the storm. I mean, their belongings and whatnot, they left behind, but physically they did not get hit. Pope Francis, of course, led thousands of people at the Vatican in prayer for the victims. The Philippines has the largest number of Catholics in Asia, and the Filipinos are one of Rome's biggest immigrant communities. So certainly our thoughts and prayers are with all of those typhoon victims. We come back on the flip side, O&E, some other things that was talked about over this past week and into this next week. What are we getting ready for? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind a marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Honey, what have you done? Oh, girl, it's the sound of my gun. Oh, girl, honey, what have you done? Oh, girl, it's the sound.
For hanging with us here on America Tonight as we roll into another week. Talked about the tragedy, obviously, of the typhoon and how many Americans are reaching out to help, most through Red Cross and other humanitarian efforts. A lot of times churches around the United States, a lot of churches are rallying to try to send what they can send. In the meantime, coming up this week, as I said, the buzz in the backyard is about health care. Because everybody is affected by the individual health care mandate. You could sit on the sidelines and then you would be fined. And I think that there is, for a lot of people, the push to not sit on the sidelines because even if they don't agree, they don't want to get fined. This is the proverbial, you have the gun to your head. You now, your government is saying, you either get health insurance or we're fining you. And that fine is going to keep going up, 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 till you finally feel it. If you don't feel $95 because you feel like, well, I'm healthy and I'm not going to go through this rigmarole and I don't need health insurance, wait 5 years down the road and then you'll start to see, okay, under this system, here's what's going to happen to me. The administration, and this is going to be the big story coming up, the administration released those numbers, the enrollment numbers for Obamacare. And, of course, October was a disaster of epic proportions in that rollout. And the push is to already say, well, don't judge what's happening by what happened in October because a lot of people couldn't sign up and went to the website, but healthcare.gov was a mess and it's supposed to be fixed completely by the end of November. And there's massive pressure, of course, to release that information. And you know it's going to be very, very low because of those technical problems. So look for that to be a major, major source of the conversation coming out of Washington. And, of course, here in America Tonight, each and every show we go inside, you know, the Beltway with the folks from Talk Radio News who are all over the White House and the Pentagon and Congress and whatnot every single day. And we'll get the buzz from the politicos as to what the analogy is of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which when it kicked in 2010, the conversation was about the individual mandate, but it was always pushing it down the road. Well, that's not happening now. Let's push, you know, wait till 2013, 2014, because 2014 is when it kicks in. It's not going to kick in January. Probably most of you know that, but just in case it's not kicking in then, it's going to happen in March instead. And if you remember, the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius got grilled by the Senate Finance Committee last week and said they're already warning that the numbers are going to be extremely low and that the information, the data that would break out the numbers for states and show how many enrolled in private insurance plans versus expanded Medicaid programs would be much lower than was initially expected. So don't get any clues as to where we're headed with this. You know, this is the rallying cry. This is the drum that's beating out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue because of so much focus on people not signing up, like young people. I mean, it's pretty simple, folks. If you have a health exchange in where you're listening to me right now, in your state, and you're one of those people that needs to go into the health exchange, wants to go into the health exchange, don't want to pay the fine, whatever it might be, you have to have the healthy people in there or it won't balance out the older people if you're on the other end of the scale. And that's just how it is. Otherwise, the costs will be crazy. So anybody thinking they're going to get affordable care will go berserk because it's not going to be affordable. It's going to cost way too much money. You have to have the healthy people to balance out, and young, to balance out the older people who are going to sign up for more procedures and have more things happen. Heart attacks, diabetes, cancer, even other things, hip replacements, all of that. And truly, if you have younger people that are healthy, because they're paying those premiums, that's where the money rolls in. It's that simple. So the sign-up number will be smaller than they initially thought. I can only imagine what the true words are that are flying around the White House, because a smoother rollout, of course, might have ensured that the numbers would have been much higher. And if you're the president and you know there's some resistance to the Affordable Health Care Act, this part of it especially, then the last thing you wanted was to see a huge blunder with healthcare.gov, because you want people to enroll and you want to be able to say, well, look at this. You say people don't want healthcare, but can you imagine that this many people signed up? Now, before the website launch was a mess and became a huge debacle, they anticipated that over 400,000, closer to 500,000, would enroll in October and maybe closer to 800,000 in November across the nation. But now I think they're trying to roll back those predictions, realizing with so many problems with fixing the website that there still are huge amounts of people that are uninsured. And that could push the delay maybe even further. The Republicans want to see this delayed for a year. If you look at the delay for a year, do you think this helps their cause of doing something different, of eradicating the big portions of the Affordable Health Care Act? Or no, it would just delay the date. And for some people, I guess it would give them more time. For other people, it wouldn't be good because they're hoping that this is going to be the fountain that they drink out of that's going to cure the big problem they're having, and it's finding affordable health care. You know, I say this all the time, and whether you're listening to me in the Northeast or in the South or West or wherever geographically you're located, I mean, you could walk up to anyone in any church, in any bar, in any fast food restaurant and say, hey, buddy, would you like the chance at affordable health care? I mean, would you go to the doctors? Would you, you know, take care of that little naggy feeling that you're having? Would you go get yourself a physical? And, of course, who's going to say, no, I don't want anything to do with affordableness. I don't want anything to do with health care. No, forget it. I don't want that. So the idea that it's supposed to be affordable is the thing that so many people are so stuck on, and the promise that, hey, if it's not now, it will be. And if we promised you about your health care, if you wanted to keep it, okay. Then people find out they can't, don't like the change, and don't like the potential potholes of hearing that there's this promise that it's not going to happen. So Reuters did actually an interesting thing. They did a tally of seven states that are running their own exchanges, and they gave up some pretty detailed information, actually, on enrollment, and it showed 35,000 picked a private insurance plan at this point. More than 145,000 have enrolled in Medicaid. From the point of view from Washington, they're saying about 750,000 people have applied to determine their eligibility for Medicaid or for tax credits under the health care law. If there's just no way they can afford it, what can they do to offset it? And you certainly know, in forcing people down this road, that numbers are easily manipulated. And I think the numbers are going to, I guarantee you, the numbers are going to show what, in certain categories, what they want them to show. But I think at this point, Democrat or Republican, nobody's up for any spin. Nobody's up for more of the same coming out of D.C. And the biggest problem we all have, am I right or not, is this. If this is a good program, then why isn't Congress? Why are they not on the same program? Shouldn't all the people that we elected and their families and the people that work for them be on the same path that we're on? Wouldn't that make you feel better? Hey, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can. Dial these digits, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Which do you love best, Thanksgiving dinner or leftovers? The meal takes such time and effort, you wish it was easier so you could have it more often. Well, right now it is. Right now you can. Imagine your family enjoying the ultimate comfort food easily during stressed out times of a disaster or emergency, or outdoors while camping or hiking. The freeze-dried feast from Freeze Dry Guy is a special case of Thanksgiving dinner, ready for you any day of the year for at least 25 years. freeze-dried turkey tetrazzini, green beans, dehydrated potatoes, and sweet potatoes. Yes, even dessert. This delicious feast is ready to eat when you want or need it most, easily, in just minutes. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. There's free shipping, plus your family could win a free traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Go now to freezedryguy.com.
Pills, pills, pills. If you've tried to fix your ED with pills or supplements, listen up. My name's Matt Cook with GetEDSolutions.com, and I've developed a system that often fixes ED from home naturally, without medical intervention. How does it work? My system addresses the root cause of most ED, which is desensitization. Desensitization is not your fault, but it's the number one reason men get embarrassed around women. The more they try, the more things don't work. And the solution is to fix desensitization through simple activities you do from home.
I purchased your product yesterday, and it was fantastic.
I have used your system for about 3 weeks, and I'm already seeing great results.
If you're one of the 52% of men who suffer from ED, you must visit GetEDSolutions.com for a special reporting video that shows you how to fix ED from home fast without pills or supplements. Visit GetEDSolutions.com for my special report and video on fixing ED at home. GetEDSolutions.com. That's GetEDSolutions.com. GetEDSolutions.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
In the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
Here in America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I hope a lot of you have your American flags out. I've got mine out at the curb. I love it in my neighborhood honoring Veterans Day. A lot of people, the Boy Scouts put up these beautiful flags for you, and they're up and down the streets. It's really, really a cool sight to see. And we can never, ever say enough about what the military has done for all of us as Americans. You know, we start off the show talking about the typhoon and what immediately happens. U.S. Marines are there immediately because they're rallying. They're doing the humanitarian thing. And, of course, this is their job and they want to do that. But you think of humanitarian efforts across the world that have been made possible because of our military, not to mention the wars, the protections, all of that kind of stuff. On our next show, we're going to honor a lot of those people. We're going to talk to Tyler Garner, who is a veteran of 8-plus years in the Army. He was a Special Forces Communications Sergeant on an ODA in the 1st Special Forces Group with Mandarin Chinese was his assigned language, can you imagine? And his deployments included the Philippines, which we've been talking about, Iraq and Afghanistan, and he is now, after the service with Special Forces. He is now trying to further his education at the University of Tampa in an international business and entrepreneur program. So it's always neat to find out also what has happened to many of the guys who have served, because that's one of our things that, okay, thank you for your service. Here's some of the advantages. What's the education you're getting and what are you doing with it? Also, we're going to talk to Sergeant Major Bruce Parkman, and he was in the Army in the 80s. He spent 21 years altogether in service, 18 in the Green Berets. Is there any tougher crew? Green Berets, and of course the SEALs, you would say too, but Green Berets. And he traveled to hot spots in El Salvador, and he was part of the whole Kosovo action that we saw, that we watched unfold before our eyes. And then Jen Paquette, who is the Green Beret Foundation Executive Director, and she manages day-to-day ops like strategic planning, like the development of any kind of service to the Green Berets and their family. Because how often do we talk about that role that gets lost? Now, that's when I flip out on the show, if you've heard me, when we hear, military, hope they get their checks, because that's the first thing to go. Families being re-racked because of assignments, traumatic things happening. And she's the wife of Staff Sergeant Roland Paquette, who was a Special Forces medic and was traumatically wounded, and both of his legs are gone because of IEDs, and that was when he was serving in the whole Operation Enduring Freedom. And now what's interesting is he immediately, with that Green Beret attitude, there's no time to wallow in that, he's an assistant in an emergency room in San Antonio, Texas. So, excited, we're going to talk to all of those people on Veterans Day, and we are rolling into Veterans Day, and we know many, many, many of you have served, or you have families who served in various wars or situations. Like I said, if there were times where they were involved in just peacekeeping missions and also humanitarian kinds of issues as well, still very, 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 very critical, I think, to what we do in honoring veterans is such a big mission of a lot of people, and I think that's a great thing. Take a minute just to kind of remember that. I won't say everywhere, but a lot of places where I went over the weekend, there were a lot of conversations about veterans. And, of course, we're seeing that with Afghanistan 2014. That's the end of it. The fears over what possibly could we else jump into, where could we find ourselves being in the middle of some other type of situation. That's why Iran, the conversation is amped up again about sanctions with Iran and Rouhani and what's going to happen there, all the nice conversation that we're going to sit down at the table for the first time in however long and have these conversations about not uranium enriching for nuclear weapons. But now the Senate is saying they want tougher Iran sanctions until there is a nuke deal, and the Secretary of State isn't going to ease any of the sanctions, Kerry, despite the fact that there is some optimism over getting a deal with the Iranians, but Rouhani is saying that they're not going to give up the enrichment, so we're still probably in the same place that we were before. And they, you know, you go back to the assumptions, I think, that were made after the UN appearance, and we may find ourselves in the negotiating table in the same spot, because negotiations between Iran and the five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, which, you know, that includes the United States, Great Britain, Russia, China, France, that's the rest of it, and Germany, hit a massive snag over the weekend after France said they were concerned that the proposed deal didn't do enough to trim the nuke ambitions of that country. And, of course, Geneva is scheduled, that's all scheduled to kick back up on November 20th. But it's not just the U.S. See, now, Kerry says there's been significant progress, and there are a few differences, things that need to be worked out. The French are taking a little bit of a harder line on that, and the British Foreign Secretary, who would be their visible person, says that there was a good chance of a deal being done with Iran, but that the next round of talks are going to be very, very difficult. And this is a split the difference kind of thing, I think, for Americans, because how many of you, when you talk about Iran, say, let them do what they want to do? Why are we in the middle of this? While others say, how can you ignore Iran for the possibility of what could happen there and how that would affect us in the United States? And the whole thing of uranium enrichment, the labs, the danger is we're not stupid. They could produce weapons-grade material. And you look at Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, and he's got every plane pointed in that direction and every weapon pointed in that direction because he's not taking any chances. So you don't have Ahmadinejad to deal with. You have this Rouhani to deal with. And you have this high optimism because of what's been said and what's been addressed already, that this can be worked out. But the Israelis are still not buying any of it. Energy-producing reactors use uranium-enriched at levels, they say, of about 3.5%. So what does that mean? It's just a few steps away from what would be a warhead level. Just a few steps. I mean, close enough. Even though the insistence is we're doing this for energy. We're doing this for energy. They deny interest in those weapons. Deny it. But that's not what they're trying to do. They've got 440-some pounds, because, of course, we have all the intel on the exact numbers, of the higher-enriched uranium in a form that can be turned into weapons. This is it in a nutshell. And 550 pounds of 20% enriched uranium are needed to produce a single warhead. That's it. So think of what they have, what it would take. And then you have Russia and China. And they say they would unfreeze some of the Iranian assets in banks overseas and ease sanctions, banning trade and things like gold, metal, and petrochemicals, that kind of stuff. See, the French, who are undeterred, they're worried that they have enough to produce nuclear weapons once they're online, once their facilities are online. You have Russia and China completely on the other side. Just let them release some of these sanctions, and we're never going to make up the difference there. And then we're in between on this, optimistic, but still trying to hold it all together. Should we be concerned about Iran, or do you think, hey, let them play in their playground? What business do we have being in the middle of this? All this while Israel and U.S. relations are certainly what one could call a little bit frayed. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Stay with us. More to come.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Frank Bates, and I got a confession to make. Just a few days ago, FEMA went directly to my supplier and tried to buy my entire stockpile of high-quality survival food. It sounds crazy, but I'll show you the exact letter they sent in a minute. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, and I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see undeniable video proof that the government is on the hunt for as much survival food as they can grab in 24 hours. Be warned, it's really disturbing because the fact is FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see why survival food is the number one item to hoard right now and why supplies are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Do it now, because I don't know how long it will be online, so go to FEMAHatesThis.com while you can. That's FEMAHatesThis.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Waterloo.
Well, that's all you get. That's what they call a real tease. Just a few seconds of music. It's almost like that old show, Name That Tune. But we're not naming the tune here on America Tonight. The reason we came back with, there it is. Check it out. Here's the best part. Bum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Lighten the load since we started off talking about the horror of the typhoon, Iran balking at all the language in the conversation of the marathon session, and who knows what happens there. And of course, we're all split on health care. Either you're going to pay more for those premiums, or maybe you're getting health care for the first time and you don't have to pay at all. Of course, that's the difference between the poor and the rich, and the in-between, the middle class, is really getting squeezed on this one, because most of the middle class is eating up the cost of that health care coverage. So pushing that aside for a second, a quick fact. Waterloo was the biggest hit for ABBA, at least the first big hit for them, and they won a huge contest, and that pushed them into massive, massive fame. And why do you care about this 70s band that is celebrating their 40th anniversary? Because they're talking about a possible reunion. So you think, okay, 70s band, reunion, hey, we got the Eagles, we got a lot of big groups that come back around. Rolling Stones, it seems like there are 100 there touring, and they always seem to sell out places. So who cares about this Swedish band, ABBA? This is why it's interesting. Their last album, which was in the early 80s, has sold more than 380 million records. They've sold more than that amount worldwide. They are one of the most successful pop bands in history, period. In history. The leader of the band is, you know, a billionaire. They had a whole, if you remember, a whole ABBA revival. It's still on Broadway. And there are a lot of wannabe ABBA pop-up bands that are making a decent living playing their tunes. So there is something to that whole Mamma Mia thing, which is what the Broadway musical is based on, which is played all over the country. Dancing Queen, Super Trooper, and, you know, whatever. So there is somehow there's some kind of secret to this group. They just struck a nerve. Matt, you know, you've heard of, certainly you're a music guy, and you see all these bands, even current bands that are kind of one-hit wonders. And isn't it wild how, I mean, the leader of this band is, like I said, a billionaire. And what is it that's so different about their music than any other one of those bands that came along?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, it was that, it's like ABBA and, what am I thinking of? The other Australian guys, right? Bee Gees.
Yes.
The Bee
Gees.
Yeah, the
same thing.
It's like
they struck
exact
a curve.
Stuff that sounds very similar. Like a lot of their songs even sound similar too. And I don't know. That was just the times, I guess. It's kind of like 90s and boy bands. Those things were just all over the place.
Yeah. Boy, that's a good analogy. Because the boy band guys, some of them went off to Uber fame, like the Justin Timberlakes. And just even hanging around, and if there was a reunion, you know, that they would certainly find their audience and people would go out and see them. And that's the ABBA thing.
The reunion tours, it's Backstreet Boys, or not NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block in 98 Degrees. And I know this because I got some friends that are in their 30s who are all obsessed with this. It's called the Package Tour.
It's wild that men would admit that they're going to see the Package Tour.
No, these are female friends of mine.
Okay, female friends, because I'm going to say, I can't imagine that many guys, being dragged along.
These are the girls who had the New Kids on the Block lunchbox and then were in high school when the boy band craze hit.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow, so the Package Tour, who knew? That'd be crazy to see all three of them.
It's stuff that you don't see on other shows. You can't get that information everywhere.
That's right. Yeah, you're not getting that on our good friends Free Talk Live. They're not talking about that. Jason Lewis, who I'm filling in for on Friday here on the network, he mentioned some lighter fare too, but occasionally he's got his Beatles rejoiner music. You know, he's got that on Friday. But he's not talking about the Package Tour of boy bands, certainly not. You know, so ABBA is a Swedish group, and once again, I am so sick of Denmark always taking the big prize. And what is the big prize that they get in Denmark? They always get labeled the happiest people in the world. They have dark, dark, long winters. They have a shorter life. So what is it that makes the people, maybe that's why. Hey, we have a short life. We have some crappy weather, so you better smile and enjoy it. And the Danes, every single year, are voted the happiest people on the planet. So what is the reason for the fact that they don't grumble, complain? I mean, why is that? Is it a simpler lifestyle? They're satisfied much easier? I mean, what is it? Can you climb the ladder faster? it's got to be expensive to live there. And they hit the top of the happiness table in 1973, that they were the most satisfied than any other state in the European Union. And then if you open up the floodgates and included other countries, the same thing. And how do they decide what that is? People are asked to evaluate their lives using the scale of 0 to 10. The best 10, you know, 0 being the worst possible life for them, 10 being the best. And on average, in Denmark, they score over a 7. You know, you add everybody's scores up together. And they say the thing that seems to make them, the Danes, happiest is the fact that they're secure in their society, that they feel that they have financial security. Wow. Because they say if they lose their jobs, they get support. If they get sick, they go to the hospital, so on, no problem. But what's very strange to me is what kind of dough are they making? Because they have the highest, I looked this up again, they have the highest taxes in the world as a percentage of their overall economy. But they say they value the other things because of how expensive it is, subsidized child care, unemployment insurance, because if you're unemployed there, you get 80% of your wages for 2 years if you lose a job. If we did 80% of wages for here in America, we'd be Greece. We'd be Greece times five. It would not be good. It would not work. Then they say, you know, they've had to cut back. See, even they've had to cut back on some of their benefits. So like student loans, they've had to cut back that. Unemployment insurance used to be 4 years, but they had to cut that back. And they say the other thing is, put all that aside, it's the trust level between people. Even when there's somebody you don't know sitting next to you on the bus or in the street, somebody comes up to you, you just have a trust level that is very, very high. Social relationships is big. They have clubs and associations. We have clubs and associations. Rotary clubs, Kiwanis clubs, country clubs, bridge clubs. I don't know. I'm thinking off the top of my head. Mahjong clubs, chess clubs, whatever. We have them too. But that's the reasons why. Wow. To have that tax burden over your head, you would think eventually that's going to come back and swing in a different direction. I get the trust thing. I get that. And also, too, you got to remember, I mean, how small are we talking when we're talking about Denmark? There's a little bit of a difference. And I'll tell you what probably makes them happy. They're working like 30 to 33 hours on average a week. How much are Americans? How many hours are Americans working? 60 hours on average per week. And that's because we got to string together jobs to make enough money in this stinking economy. I don't share the Dame's attitude, do you? Thanks for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
One in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.